Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, folks, so we are continuing on. This is part two of the World Cup preview. Interesting on the back end in terms of some of these matchups with the group stages. You know, from my perspective, you've got a very interesting dynamic in Group B between Spain and Germany. Because, you know, everyone expects Germany to advance. And I'm not saying that Japan is a world beater. But there's a real chance, in my opinion, that if you're going to get an upset and somebody gets knocked out, it's going to be Germany. And it would be to the likes of Japan, where Japan, I could see a scenario where Japan can get in, and it's a little bit tricky because from the way I look at the group stage, and you gotta like bear in mind in terms of how the schedule plays into it, because the first matchup in Group B for Germany is Japan. And I could see a scenario where Japan manages to draw with Germany. And I know people are going to say that's crazy. But Japan actually has decent talent that can attack. Minamino plays for Liverpool. He used to play at Monaco. Good striker. Good touch. Like, Japan can actually score on this Germany squad, in my opinion, because Germany has not looked good in a couple of years. They didn't have a good Euro. They didn't look good in Nations League. They've been cycling out their older players. But I would say that when they went through qualifiers, they had such a cupcake schedule that, you know, I'm still not sold on this Germany squad. I mean, you got Leroy Sané, you got Kai Havertz, who literally is one of the most inefficient strikers you will ever see. I keep saying it, like, I'm very interested in this group because Spain is -120 to win the group. Spain isn't even playing that great right now. There are real chances because Spain plays a very defensive style where they do ball possession. They're not pushing their advantages. Spain could be the team that slips on a banana peel. I just think Germany's more vulnerable to Japan. Where if you get a draw against Germany, Japan is set up where Spain and Germany can play each other. If Spain ekes out a victory over Germany, Germany could find itself in a position in the third game where Costa Rica, I expect to lose all their games. But if Germany can find themselves in a position where if Japan can put up goals against Costa Rica. Spain plays Japan in that third game. You could get a scenario where Spain plays light, plays a very defensive game, just lets Japan eke through with a nil-nil draw. They don't go crazy. And then it puts the onus on Germany to run up the score against Costa Rica, which could easily happen. But we've seen that scenario play out where the team that needs to run up the score knows that they need to run up the score, starts pressing, and they don't necessarily get to run up the score. Like, that's what I'm saying. This is an awkward group where if you look at the odds, Spain's minus 120, Germany's plus 110. You can take a shot at Japan at plus 1400 to advance out of Group B and be the wild card team in the group stage. I know some people think it's Serbia because of the essentially what amounts to a group of death kind of a scenario, but it's not really. I just look at it where, you know, I really think it's Japan that's that team that folks aren't paying enough attention to. As I said, Costa Rica should be a doormat this tournament. But, you know, it's Joel Campbell is still playing. I mean, Costa Rica, God bless Joel Campbell. To me, I just don't see much out of Group E from Costa Rica. To me, the team to watch in Group E is Japan. That first game against Germany, huge. If Germany looks good, okay, then we could actually start taking Germany serious about winning the group outright. But if Germany has their slip-ups, which we've seen them do on the international stage lately, there's a real chance we get an upset in Group E. Moving on, the Group F, Belgium, Croatia, Morocco, and Canada. You know, people are saying that Canada got a rough go of it. I didn't think they were going to advance out of this group, but the issue is Alphonso Davies, who plays for Bayern Munich, obviously got hurt in the run-up to the tournament. You know, it's a hamstring injury. You don't know how the hammy's going to respond. They say he's going to be ready to go. We shall see. To me, I think that Canada has a puncher's chance of taking out Croatia. Belgium is always considered to be the most dangerous team in the world that's never done it on the biggest stage of them all. They're ranked number two in the world for a reason. They still got De Bruyne. They still got Lukaku. Eden Hazard can still go. Listen, Belgium has the talent. Do I trust Belgium at all? No. But the guy to kind of look out for on the Belgium side is Leandro Trossard. Trossard has been crushing it at Brighton. You may see Trossard be the breakout player that folks kind of know, but really don't know on the international stage. The Premier League fans know of his work over the past 18 months. But the international stage doesn't know, mainly because it's Brighton. But I look at this group and say, it's Belgium clear as day. I mean, Belgium's only minus 163 to go through. I think that line is looking low. I think it's clear Belgium's the best team in the group. Croatia is, I mean, come on. Perisic and Modric? I mean, Luka Modric. I mean, listen. Fantastic career. Play hard. But they've got an aging roster. Like, to me, Croatia's the team that I think folks are, they're plus 225 to win the group. But Croatia, much like Germany, like they're in the position Germany was a couple of years ago, where, you know, they've had this golden generation of players, and it's not quite time. Like, they don't know who the hell to replace them with, and they're running it back with this group again. The issue I see with Croatia is the fact that they are still up there in age, and I just look at this as, you know, you're going to have, you know, the temperatures, like, we're not going to hit a high 90s, 100 degree day, thankfully, but it's still going to be pretty hot and humid. Like, Croatia's one of those teams where I kind of worry about in a hotter climate tournament as they get into the second half. You know, they're in a group where between Canada and Morocco, they're going to try to push the pace on them. And I think they can give Croatia trouble. I truly do. I mean, I don't think Croatia can beat Belgium unless Belgium slips on a banana peel, which they are prone to do in international competition. Let's not kid ourselves here. But to me, with the other teams in this group and the athleticism and youth on all the other squads, I think Croatia is in a little bit of a pickle. I think Croatia, you can, because of their age, I question their ability to hang around long-term in the tournament. But I think in these initial group stage games, I think if they get pushed hard, you know, the rotation is going to be important for Croatia, in my opinion. They're going to have to rotate players out before they get to the knockout stage, because I don't think they can keep rolling with that group all three games. I think there's a real concern that they drop one of these games. And again, depends on how some of the games play out, but you could get those scenarios where somebody gets a draw, Croatia needs to win. I think they lose to Belgium, because I think they try to go after Belgium, even though they probably should be trying to play for the tie. I think they can beat Belgium straight up, and I think that plays into Belgium's hands. I have concerns about Croatia, but I know most people don't. I think people feel very confident with Croatia. I just have concerns there. So, you know, you want to take a dark horse, I got no issues with taking Morocco plus 1,000 or Canada plus 1,200, because I think Croatia is there to be had.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Group G, we get the favorite, Brazil. And, you know, people are going to talk about Neymar. I mean, Neymar is, you could say he's the best player on the team, but, like, he doesn't live up to that expectation. The guy in the best form on this squad is Gabriel Jesus, who currently plays for Arsenal. He got sent packing by Pep Guardiola. He's had a chip on his shoulder the entire year, and it's been playing his ass off. I expect Gabriel Jesus to be a force in this tournament to say, hey, I can still go. And he has not had good World Cup results, and even Copa America. He hasn't been good, like, in my opinion. So he actually has a chance to take more of a standout performance. I like Jesus in here. Richarlison, you know, master of the dark arts, taking dives. But that's going to be Neymar's job. We'll see if Gabriel Martinelli he makes a starting 11. I already talked about Vinicius previously. Pedro, like, Brazil is just deep. They are deep. And the crazy part is, Brazil hasn't won the trophy in 20 years. It's 20 years! It's crazy at this point. When you look at how many guys have played for Brazil internationally in the World Cup, I mean, yes, it's once every 4 years, but when you start thinking about it, Brazil hasn't won in 20 years. It's crazy. Brazil is basically a top three favorite every year. This is more akin to the Yankees not winning for 30 years. That's the way I got to look at it. It's like Brazil not winning a World Cup. It's a big deal when Brazil doesn't win the World Cup. It's like you get, you think people get angry with teams not winning the Super Bowl, the Yankees, there ain't nothing when Brazil gets knocked out of a World Cup. It is like a national tragedy. But you know, yes, there are other teams in Group G, but it starts and ends with Brazil. They're winning this group. Serbia is the next best squad, in my opinion. The Swiss, I question Swiss here because we'll get to the Swiss. But the reason why I say Serbia is the next best team in this group is Mitrovic. Mitrovic has been playing on a different level right now at the forward level. And if you pair Mitrovic and Dusan Vlahovic, I think it's a problem. It's a problem for teams not named Brazil, mainly because Brazil will have possession of the ball, so you can't set up Mitrovic and Vlahovic if you don't have the ball. Dusan Tadic and Kostic are going to be able to have control in the midfield and cross the ball over against everyone but Brazil in this group. To me, it's Serbia 2. They're plus 600 advance out of the group. Brazil's minus 275. I go with them. People have the Swiss ranked above Serbia. I got issues with this one. Shaqiri is still playing on this squad. Doesn't have the speed anymore. I don't necessarily believe in Embolo as a striker to the extent that he is in the same level as Mitrovic and Vlahovic right now. I think he's a step below. I just think that the options on Serbia are stronger for what Switzerland wants to do. The Swiss could like pull it out. Like in the odds makers have the Swiss favored to advance out of groups at plus 450. I just think Serbia is better. I just think it's just one of those things. The reason why Cameroon, you know, I think Cameroon's a solid squad. If they were in a different group, if they had swapped places with a team like Japan, I think Cameroon could advance. I think Cameroon has talent with Choupo-Moting and Abubakar. Kambi also is an interesting guy to keep tabs on for Cameroon. Physicality-wise, again, warmer climate, I expect these guys to be able to give people trouble. It's just, this is not the group to match up with because they're not going to be able to possess the ball enough to hit teams on the counter effectively as much as they need to. They need a slower ass team to go up against. And that's a problem. I just don't think this is the group for them. It's not that I think that they can't win games at the World Cup. I just think that the teams that they're paired off against, it's just not a good matchup for Cameroon in general. I'd rather see them in France's group or or Spain's group, just to be perfectly honest with you guys. But without much further ado, let's get to the final group, Group H, led by Portugal. You know, no one knows what the hell's going on with Ronaldo. Is Ronaldo actually going to play? You got to think Ronaldo's going to play. I mean, you think Portuguese football, it's Ronaldo. I think people will have, like, fits if Ronaldo doesn't play. But the truth of the matter is, there are a bunch of dudes on, like, Portugal that can go. People are going to point to Bruno Fernandes, but Bruno Fernandes does not play well in international competition. This could change. This could change with this World Cup, but Bruno Fernandes has struggled in international competition. I'm looking at Cancelo. I'm looking at Leal. I'm looking at Andre Silva, Gonçalo Ramos. There are enough dudes on Portugal in their bench and starting group that they don't need Ronaldo. Ronaldo essentially is a very, very good-looking, antique car. It's like, I would say he was like the Lamborghini, and now he's like the antique car that you take out to car shows, but you can't actually drive on the road for any significant amount of time because it's going to break down on you. Ronaldo, to me, should not be starting games. He should be kind of being used in that 70th minute to be a closer if they need him in games. But I think Ronaldo is just going to be out there regardless, and it's going to be harder to take Ronaldo out of games if he's not having an impact. But given the blow-ups Ronaldo has had at Manchester United this year, going scorched earth, in a very, very messy interview with The Athletic, just calling out everyone in the organization you can think of. I look at it from the standpoint of, if you get Ronaldo motivated, which he should be, this is his last World Cup. There are a lot of guys in their last World Cup. I think Portugal is one of those teams. You cannot sleep on Portugal winning the World Cup outright. You just cannot. They're minus 163 to win the group. The reason why they're only minus 163 is because Uruguay is very dangerous. So Luis Suarez and Cavani are two very different offensive players. But they can put the ball in the back of the net. They just know how to get dirty-looking goals done, especially in international competition. So that's why people are not giving as much odds to Portugal locking down this group. Uruguay, very good. Valverde has been just the best player on Real Madrid point blank. I think he's been the best player on Real Madrid for quite some time. You got Darwin Nunez on that squad as well. I think Uruguay, dangerous squad to go up against. They're plus 200. They can make some noise in this tournament. Someone is going to get Uruguay as a draw in the knockout rounds. And they're going to be a difficult team to deal with. You got to look at some of these other groups. I mean, these other teams in the group. South Korea, listen, Yuming Song is, if he was completely healthy, I'd have more faith in the South Korea team. I always call him Korean Messi because of the plays he can make in the open field. I mean, he's dealing with a face fracture. He's going to be wearing like kind of a protective mask. He'll look like Phantom of the Opera, to be perfectly honest. And, when you wear masks like that, it impacts your vision. It impacts what you can kind of see in the field. Can you make the runs that you normally would make? I just have a lot of question marks about South Korea and Sun. The thing is, like, without Sun, you know, I don't think they have enough talent to overcome the squads. Like, they'll be prepared, but Uruguay and Portugal are just very difficult squads to go up against if you're not at full strength, and I don't think they are. You know, Wong is Hee-chan Wong plays for Wolves in the Premier League. You know, solid, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's a big deal. I expect Korea to beat Ghana. Ghana is, you know, talented, but they're a really young squad. You know, they've had stronger squads in the past make the World Cup. This is not one of their stronger groups. You know, it's not like they're a pushover, but compared to the other teams in this bracket, they are the weakest team. Even with a compromised Sun, I think South Korea beats them. It's to me, I just look at it from the standpoint of if we get Portugal and Uruguay going through, and it gets interesting if Uruguay pulls this off and they win the group, Portugal is without question, in my opinion, the most dangerous number two qualifier. If somehow they don't win this group, granted, could somebody else slip on a banana peel that's a heavy favorite to win a group and then become the next favorite group? But certainly possible. But if there was a team that didn't win their group that I wouldn't want to be facing in knockout rounds, it is without question Portugal. So, again, those are my thoughts. I'm going to go and just kind of summarize whom I expect to win the World Cup. In my opinion, I think you have to take a serious look. And again, it's France. It's France. Like I keep saying it. Like, even with the Benzema injury, France is so dangerous with what they can do. I think that when Mbappe turns it on, I don't think people can handle him on the international stage. Like, these squads, the speed is different. So to me, I look at France. I know people are saying Brazil is the favorite. Don't get me wrong, Brazil is incredibly dangerous. But I think when you look at all these teams that play their A game, I think France is that squad that I'm not sure how many teams are going to beat them playing their best when France is at their best. Brazil certainly can do it. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen Neymar shrink in enough big games at this point that I got more confidence in Mbappe getting it done than I do in Neymar. So, that's going to do it for me with the breakdown for the World Cup. Obviously, as the tournament goes along, we'll have some more coverage on it, but I at least wanted to get out some of the odds, just kind of look at through everything. But, as I said before, you know, Brazil's around plus 300 to win outright. You got France at plus 700. So, you know, it's a decent option. And then Portugal, don't sleep on them. Plus 1,400, do not sleep on them. I know the Ronaldo situation people want to talk about. Is he going to play or not? To me, I think Portugal's better without Ronaldo like playing. So we're going to see how that team looks. But it should be a very interesting tournament. Again, we've never had a tournament in the middle of the professional season. So some of these squads are going to look real rough because they didn't get any practice time. Just be prepared for that. So if you see more low-scoring games, that's possible. Or you could see a shellacking come out because once a team concedes, them trying to play in and not having much practice, it could open up the floodgate. So you could get some you could definitely get some issues in terms of performances. So don't fall, like I said, don't get too comfortable with your squads after the first game. First game means a lot. A team like the U.S. needs to win. They don't have to win, but they cannot lose against Wales. Like, that's just one of those things. Because Iran is very dangerous for a team like the U.S. With the players that they've got. They cannot drop that game to Wales to begin off. I don't see the U.S. coming back from that. But, you know, just for a recap for those of you who didn't remember what I said at the outset of this tournament. So, I'm going to get on out of here. Best of luck to everyone. Enjoy the tournament. Hopefully we get a good one with all the things going on in the background with Qatar and how this was set up. You know, let's just hope the soccer on the field kind of displaces what you're kind of seeing on the back pages on some of these articles. So not to ignore anything, but hopefully the soccer quality with the timing and everything else can live up to World Cup standards. So, yep, that's all I got. Take it easy, folks. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.